For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Do you enjoy this podcast but wish you had more weekly short doses of insights and nuggets? Well, if you didn't know, I recently launched an email newsletter where you can join and connect with a community of like-minded young women around the world, also on the journey of personal growth. This weekly email includes everything from mindful insights and finds, tips on living well, relationships, my personal experiences, and a lot more. Subscribe to get your weekly email newsletter. The link is directly in this podcast episode show notes, or you can head directly to my website at emilyelizabeth.blog and you can sign up from there.
I'm Emily Elizabeth, and I'm the host of the What Fulfills You podcast, a show for and about individuals always seeking to be their best selves. On this show, we talk all about building the mindset, finding the right careers, creating meaningful relationships, and so much more. Welcome to the What Fulfills You podcast. Hello, hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the What Fulfills You podcast. My name is Emily Elizabeth. I'm your host. And as always, welcome if this is your first time tuning in to the show. For today's lovely, insightful episode, I have on Christina Velkova. She is the co-founder of VitaClean, a brand that some of you guys may have heard of. And it is the only triple-filtered, vitamin C-infused showerhead that removes the nasty chemicals from your water so you can have healthier hair, clearer skin, and an affordable spa-like experience every single day. A little bit more about Christina. She grew up in what is known as the spa capital of the Balkans, a region of Bulgaria known for its healing thermal waters. She later moved to New York City to earn her degree in product development from FIT and began her career as a professional model. Christina's career in fashion took her to London, which is where she met her now co-founder, Sarah Douglas, working at a global content agency. Sarah was not in this conversation, but she is also the co-founder of VitaClean. As always, on this episode, we dive into all different topics from what VitaClean does, skin and hair care, Christina's upbringing as she immigrated here to the US, her thoughts and insights on relationships, dating, things that she would share with her younger self in her 20s, and a lot more. As always, I know this conversation is full of great wisdom and one that I really enjoyed as well. Christina has such great energy. She's so down to earth and honest and open, and I really loved this conversation. So with that being said, let's welcome Christina Velkova to the podcast. Well, Christina.
What a delight.
Oh my goodness. Thank you so much for coming into the studio and joining me today. I'm so stoked to talk about everything from VitaClean to your childhood, modeling, personal life, dating, marriage, all of it. So thank you again.
I am so excited I'm here. Thank you for having me. I know we've been talking for about 10 minutes.
I know.
About everything. Oh, so I'm excited to dive in.
Yeah. Let's start with your childhood and a little bit of your modeling background and kind of pave the story and the journey of like where you started and kind of how it led you to VitaClean and even any like careers or jobs between modeling or after that kind of brought you into this like beauty and wellness space.
Yeah, well, I love that. I love talking about where I'm from. I have such a deep connection to it. I'm originally from Bulgaria.
Yeah.
And my dad won the green card lottery very randomly in 1998.
Okay.
And we had no plans to move to America. Mm-hmm. Get this, Bulgaria was under communist rule for a really long time. Mm-hmm. And in 1989 is when things started to fall apart. Mm-hmm. And there was a lot of different stuff going on in the country, rebuilding, people getting a little unethical, the country trying to find its way to rebuild. So even though we had no intention of leaving our family, because you weren't really allowed to travel, you weren't allowed to leave, you weren't like free to leave, it was not part of our culture where you would leave your family and you go abroad.
Yeah.
But when that was over and you were allowed to travel and leave, and when we got the green card, my parents entertained the idea because they didn't think they can provide a life for us in Bulgaria the way they wanted us to have.
Yeah.
My sister and I have a sister.
Older or younger?
Older.
Okay.
She calls me the younger older sister, though.
Really? Why? Because of maturity? Or?
I don't know. I'm going to get me in trouble if I say yes to that. No, she's very mature, but I just tend to, I guess I just had a more adult life quicker.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know how to answer that without getting in trouble later.
Totally. That's so funny. Oh my goodness. I understand, I think, that aspect too, in the sense that while I was born in the U.S., my parents also immigrated from Vietnam. And so they also had that classic immigrant mentality of like building a life in the U.S. and for their future children. And they came individually and then they met here in the U.S.
Oh, that's beautiful.
So it was very interesting. But do you feel like that mindset of your parents and your family, like, coming here, did that impact you in any way as you grew up? Or looking back, do you kind of see how that's impacted maybe how you look at the world, how you approach it, specifically being from there and now living here?
Oh, my God. 100%.
Yeah.
Until today. Yeah. You know, there's some things that are so deeply instilled in you because you've heard them so many times growing up that no matter how many therapy classes or sessions you go to, like, you can't undo that.
Yeah.
It is, I am very grateful for those lessons, because if they have given me a determination, my work ethic, to be respectful in my life towards what I do, and to know that you have to work hard for things.
Yeah.
And I really appreciate that. I know that we can click into a lot of these different topics, but my answer is that I'm definitely been impacted. And you know, when you're around family and your parents, you're raised with certain values, certain ways of thinking, certain ways of doing. And when we came here, I was 9 years old. So I wasn't very, very young.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's still pretty young. Yeah. I wasn't two, but I was nine.
For sure.
And I already was in an age where I could have understood what was going on.
Right.
And it was really hard culturally, because I had a very comfortable life back home. I had a lot of family. I was going to school. It was just my life. It was beautiful. So we'll get into that in a little bit. But I grew up in a town that's called the spa capital of the Balkan Peninsula, because we have over 90 different types of mineral water coming from the ground, the earth, and it has therapeutic benefits. So I grew up in a lot of wellness.
Okay.
And people used to go and they would sit in these thermal waters to heal their joints, to heal their skin conditions.
Oh, wow.
And the city made a business out of this, which is normal and amazing.
Yeah.
So there was a lot of tourism around.
Oh, wow.
From a very, very young age.
Okay.
Because these waters have such healing benefits for skin, for hair, for overall, that people would go there. It was a wellness healing center.
Oh, wow. Are those kind of similar to like banyas in the sense? Yeah, in the sense. I know. I love how I know so much about Eastern.
I know. You just spoke Russian to me 10 minutes ago and I almost fell off the couch.
I know. I do get everyone with that. But yeah, are they kind of similar in the sense of, and for those who don't know what banyas are, it's basically like an extreme version of a sauna that came from Russia or, you know, Eastern European culture.
Yeah.
But is that kind of like the equivalent, but the water version, I guess you could say?
Yeah, well, it was the same kind of concept, except the water that was coming through the pipes was very medicinal and it was very healing. So we'll still go with my grandma to the banya and she'll sit there and scrub me, which today is called a Korean scrub, and you pay $250 to do. But I grew up doing that and it was part of our culture. So being around water was with me from day one of my life.
Yeah.
It was so incredible that the town would have these public sinks because there's certain streams would come out of certain areas.
Yeah.
And you would just go and you just fill, you know, buckets or bottles of water to have. And this water is incredible and very, very, has with so many benefits for it.
Yeah.
So we did have the baños, but as life progressed, so did the offerings. And we would have all these different types of hotels that would actually have actually like spa centers.
Oh.
And it was saunas, steam rooms, herbal rooms, Swedish saunas, Himalayan salt saunas.
Okay.
Then you have different kind of waters where you'd soak in this type of water and this one had this kind of composition.
Yeah.
Then you would do cold and hot therapy and it was all around water.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Oh,
very
wow.
cool.
Yeah. Very. I could see how that would, you know, definitely, especially from a young age, give you this wellness focused or impression of the world. Like, okay, this is how we take care of ourselves. This is like just a norm, right?
Yeah.
Was there a big switch then when you came over to the U.S. initially and kind of adapting to culture and kind of also just the way people approach life here versus back home originally?
Yeah, I mean, I also grew up, it was a mountain town, so we were in the valley of beautiful mountains, and my childhood was like, we'd go berry picking, we'd go strawberry picking, we'd go pick tea, and we'll go hike, and we'll learn about nature and just interact with that. We weren't living in city, well, I didn't live in a big city. Sofia is the capital and it is a big city.
Right.
But yeah, coming to Manhattan, it was definitely a huge difference.
Yeah.
And there was one, the lifestyle, the people. I haven't been exposed to the varieties of cultures and ethnicities ever until I came here when I was 9 years old. And sometimes I forget about that because it feels so long ago.
Right.
And life has been so dynamic, and not just mine, I think in general we're going through so many changes with first it was social media, now with AI, now with robots. Like, we're going through some pretty funny times, but even back then, coming from my upbringing into Manhattan was a little crazy.
Was being around or within New York, did that help propel you to get into modeling? Like, how did that kind of come about?
Yeah, so I always got approached when I was young.
Okay.
From a very young age. 13 years old was when they had scouts at the time. Not social media, but they sent scouts to, like, the malls. And
Yes,
heard, I think people have heard this story quite a lot. And it was probably the third or fourth year. How old was I? Maybe, like, 13 when my sister, this is the funniest story ever, so my sister skipped school and like played hooky and like, you know, the school used to call the home phone, and she like pretend she was my mom, and she snuck out and went to MTV. Do you remember?
Oh my gosh.
Was it TRL when they had outside, when you would stand outside of, it was MTV or TRL, I can't remember, but there was a show in Times Square where you go outside and you would just be part of the crowd, and they would have a show happening.
Oh, wow.
I don't know why I'm just drawing a blank.
Yeah.
But she went there, and she got approached by a scout. And the scout was said, I'd like for you to ask your parents to come to the agency. So my sister came home, and she admitted that she skipped school. And my parents were like, this is like 3 years into living in America. They're like, what did you do? Like, we have no time for this. Like, you can't be acting up. We were laughing and ended up going. We ended up going, and we ended up being offered a package to be photographed and to be presented to agencies. So it wasn't a direct agency, but it was a scouting company that would connect you to agencies. So we did that. My sister and I both did it. And I might be getting my timeline incorrect, but within that period I was offered a few contracts. However, I was so young and it required homeschooling, and my parents said absolutely not. Even in Eastern Europe, modeling had a very bad reputation. It wasn't something that was celebrated, not like in America when you had the Cindy Crawfords and Claudia Schiffers of the world. It was, it had a very negative association.
I could see that.
So my parents were like, this was fun. You had some cute photos. Let's go back to school now. So later in life, when I started going to school, Mm-hmm. And I was 17 years old when mm-hmm. I went to university. I was studying at FIT. I got approached. I got approached a few times before that too, yeah. but it just never worked out.
Yeah.
And I finally decided to take it serious because yeah. I said, you know, I can control and manage my own schedule now. I'm yeah. going to school. I can now do this. I was living mm-hmm. in Manhattan. And I went and I got signed. I got offered a contract with a modeling agency back in the day. Mm-hmm. It was called Click.
Okay. Yeah. Is it like CLICK?
Yes.
Like that? Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I've heard of it.
Yeah. So I was with them. I was under a 5-year contract and that's how I started my career.
Oh, wow. So, okay. So give us a little bit of like just like a behind the scenes of how, I don't know if modeling is still the same now because I know mm-hmm. so much has changed with social media.
Absolutely.
But how do contracts work? Like mm-hmm. for those who have always been curious how it works mm-hmm. but you know they're just like behind the scenes like watching or maybe scrolling on Instagram like oh wow like that life must look so cool mm-hmm. like what was it actually like?
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Well, contracts don't guarantee you work.
Right.
Contracts guarantee you that you are giving a commission to the agent who will represent you
right.
to the best of their ability. They yeah. have every right to manipulate your look or ask you to, if you need to cut your hair, you'd yeah. cut your hair. So they yeah. would style your image
okay.
and you're giving away all your rights.
Mm.
And modern day advertising, I can't imagine how crazy it is to sign a contract like how I have signed.
Yeah.
But you're basically giving up your rights to be able to be advertised in whatever capacity that the agent decided to send you to the jobs and the
totally.
Castings and the clients.
Totally.
So they had a lot of control over you. So
yeah.
per se, this didn't happen to me, unfortunately, but I've had other
yeah.
amazing things in life.
Yeah.
If I were to sign this contract and then I became the biggest model in the world,
yeah.
I'm giving very drastic examples,
totally.
that agency would have full control of like my career and
yeah.
my decisions. So if I've asked them, I'd want to break the contract, of course, you'd probably have to get lawyers involved and get,
yeah.
but they probably wouldn't allow that.
Okay.
And also contracts keep an exclusivity to a territory.
Mm.
So it depends. It could be just New York. It could be different markets.
Yeah.
Usually it's the territory where the residency of the agency is.
Right. So how does it work if a model is signed to multiple agencies in different cities, like one in Paris, one in New York? So like explain that to someone who's so out of the industry.
Oh my God, I hope I'm like still saying this correctly. It's been a minute, but it's same. It's based on territory. So X agency would have the rights to advertise you and get you work in New York per se, where they would get commission on the jobs that you book in New York. So if you have an agency in Paris, they do work simultaneously. However, the agency in Paris gets a certain percentage. And if you have a mother agency, it gets complicated. So if you have a mother agency is the main one, they'll take a percent from you. And the other agency in that territory would take a percent from you.
Oh, wow.
Depends on a lot. For example,
yeah.
if you in Paris, like the laws are so different that in standard contract in New York, what it was back in the day, again, I don't know if things have changed. I've been out of the loop.
Totally.
But it would be 20% commission on everything you make.
Right, right.
And in Paris, it would be 70%.
70?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
So it would go high as that. But it's because of the way the whole system is set up there tax-wise. It's not only because it's Paris and you have to pay a 70% fee to be able to model there. So it gets a little complicated, but in a very simple way, it's just territory dependent.
Okay.
Usually.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do you feel like that propelled you, because you went to school at FIT and then you were also doing this as well.
Mm-hmm.
How did the combination affect the way you approached your potential career and like as you were figuring out whether you maybe wanted to do modeling full-time or like, you know, take what you were doing in school and maybe do something with that? Like what was your thought process during that time?
Oh my God, this is so fun. I've always wanted to be in fashion when I was younger.
Yeah.
My grandma, she passed away now 4 years ago, but we were super close and she was such an idol for me. She was a seamstress, but Back in the day, she had like an underground business making clothes for people, because during communist times, you can't really have your own private business. But she would make the most gorgeous, gorgeous clothes. And back in the day, you didn't really have options.
Like,
again, it seems so foreign and so long ago, but that's how people live. Like, the story is what the country allows importing, like what Bulgaria would only have what it was allowed to be imported back then.
Right.
So you wouldn't have like all of the options, and it, you didn't have fast fashion back then. Things were very different.
Totally.
Being a seamstress and a designer was something very common, especially in those areas. And that's what my grandmother did. And she had a very success. She was the best seamstress in the area, and she'd make beautiful, beautiful clothes. And because kids' fashion, adult fashion was almost non-existing, kid fashion was totally not existing. So she'd make me beautiful clothes. So I was her model. And my sister too, since we were very young. And that always impacted me, and it always made me want to be in fashion. And that's why I went to FIT. And when I started modeling, I said this is the perfect way to get started in the industry. So once you start modeling, you're always told like, hey, this is not long term, this is very temporary. Something that is just going to be a few years. So
really, who says that?
It's like just a general. It's just a general.
Okay, people in the, like in the industry.
Not anymore. I think I have girlfriends now, some of my closest girlfriends, who are still making great careers, and they're still getting billboards and still getting advertising opportunities to be the face of different brands, and they're living and having great career. But most of the time back in those days, I feel like I'm aging myself so much, but again, so much has changed. Like, modeling was a short term thing. You know, it was very rare to have the career of a supermodel. You would only want you from 16, 17 up to 24, and then, you know, you're damaged. Well, of course, this was just the tale of
told.
So I always saw it as a fun thing to do while I was in school.
I see.
And it gave me the pendants. I started making money from it. I started traveling around, which was so much fun. And I was working for the brands that I was studying in my classroom.
Oh, that must have been fun.
It was so much fun. I had a great time. It was honestly, it was so much fun walking the shows, doing fittings.
Did you do runway or like...
Not that much, but I have. I have done, I was more doing commercial work. So I it was weird. I was a hybrid between I would do shows and I would always model for the high-end designers, but I would be more commercially, I would I'll get booked more commercially. So there's like, back in the day, they used to, I keep saying that because I don't know today how it is.
It could be a little different.
It could be a little different, but usually it's like high-end editorial where you're like a little quirky looking maybe, or you're very, very tall, which was what in my case, I was just very tall. So my height played a lot. And commercial models, again, this was just generalizing, was more a little bit on the shorter side.
I mean, I remember I saw that before. Like, so for how tall are you? Are you like 6 feet?
No, I'm like 5'10".
Okay. Okay. So yeah, that's like typical. That's like technically average runway height, right?
That's kind of the bottom. 5'10" is like you're on the shorter side.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. For runway.
Yeah. For runway. Yeah. Exactly.
But you're tall for commercial.
Yes, yeah, so you could or do like, it, but again, you're tall. You're like live in a weird world. In between.
Okay.
So commercial models could have an incredible career. And they'd be 5'8", 5'9", sometimes. And it would be more about the image, not so much modeling these couture gowns. And that was like the general difference.
How did you then switch from like, fashion and being at FIT and then also like the modeling world to then kind of getting into wellness? Like, how did, I mean, I know that's part of, you know, your culture and kind of what you said earlier, but how did everything kind of play out over the next few years?
I mean, you know, the more I got into the industry, the more I realized I don't want to work in it. Fashion, the fashion industry was very toxic, and it wasn't inspiring. It felt like it was a place where people were not happy and not kind. And it was a toxic environment, and people were focusing on things that were very superficial and materialistic. So it was something that I had fun for sure, modeling and having those jobs and getting to travel and do all those fun things and getting paid for it, which is so crazy. But it was not an industry I wanted to be long term. And VitaClean accidentally happened because as a model, you have to take care of your skin, you have to take care of your body, you have to take care of your hair. Not as a model, but it's part of the job.
But like one of the like things you have to guys pay like extra attention to.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah, I think everybody should take care of themselves.
But I mean, 100%. Yes, I agree.
Yeah. It's like, you know, you have a marketing agency and you have to make sure you're using high quality videos.
Yes.
And it's like, that's kind of, you know, when you're a model, you have to make sure your hair is healthy and you're taking care of your skin and you're not with breakouts or dryness or... it's important. People, it matters.
Yeah.
It matters.
Yes.
So my career took me over to London, and I've always wanted to be in Europe.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I was working between Paris and London, which was fun.
What a dream.
It was
fun. Or probably from the outside.
Yes, definitely came with things that don't feel like they would fit in the dream. But, you know, when you're 23, it's so much fun. You're working in Paris. Like, a dream, for sure.
Yes.
Definitely not the greatest working conditions. Okay. Definitely a lot of crazy stuff that you have to deal with and experience. But when you peel those back a little bit, having that experience in that age and stage of life is, for me, really great. Because you get to... I got to learn a lot, and it taught me a lot about boundaries, about discipline, about taking care of myself, speaking up, communicating.
Yeah.
So you're being put in situations where you have to learn that.
Right.
So when I went to London, I was spending a lot of time there, and I started experiencing a lot of issues with my skin and hair. My scalp started to be so dry to the point where it would snow out of my head.
Wow.
This is so embarrassing. I never get excited about admitting this, but my scalp would be itchy to the point of, like, I'd scratch it to blood, which is so unsexy, but it's also so inconvenient and frustrating.
Yeah.
If anyone at home that's dealing with that, I feel you. There's a solution. We'll get into
it.
But nobody wants to do that.
Yeah.
I don't care what career or profession you're in. I don't know what you're doing. That is just a nuisance.
Totally.
And it chips at you because it's there and it's part of your body.
Mm.
So I also started experiencing eczema on my hands and arms. And it's something I've never really dealt with. I was say I always had a sensitive scalp for sure. But the eczema was really something I've never had before. So I couldn't figure out what was going on. I thought it was maybe something internal. I was not being healthy for sure. I was traveling different time zones, eating at weird hours. Sometimes you'd be on set for 10 hours standing and like you wouldn't eat. And that was like part of the game. Oh, that was part of the gig. Again, that's the side that wasn't so fun.
Right, right.
But there's a lot of stuff that with modeling, and I want to say this to all my girlies that model, like, it is a real job and it takes a lot of work, and people don't understand it. It's a very specific industry, but it's hard work.
Yeah,
it is hard work.
Well, I mean, I that's why I always used to like watch, because I'm a former figure skater. That's also why I speak Russian, by the way.
That makes
my
sense.
Coaches, just in case you're like, that's still so random, it's because of
now
my
it
coaches
all clicks.
But I remember watching, you know, I used to just grow up, like, I loved watching like models and the way people took care of themselves, and I knew that like what comes with the modeling or beauty game is no joke. Like, you know, any restrictions on physique and weight and you know, skin and hair color and everything, like, it's, I think that's something I grew up kind of glamorizing, and I also later on realized as I watched their routines on how they maintain a certain physique and also how they eat, it's like a huge commitment, and also the unglamorous side as with anything that is fun and pretty, you know.
I'm sure you experienced that with figure skating.
I did. I did. I mean, I'll admit, like, I was lucky in terms of genetics. I think a lot of Asian genes, we are, my mom's, for example, I'm quite tall for a Vietnamese girl, like I'm 5'6", but I think my mom is, when she was at her tallest, like 5'2", and like she's probably like 5'1", 5 feet now, but like most of them are, you know, just petite. So when I like grew up, and my coaches would be like, oh, she'll be fine because she's because of her Asian genes. But it is true, like, you know, I just genetically that's how we are, so we're just a little bit smaller. But I remember I knew, and I was very cognizant that in skating and anything kind of beauty related that your physique and that presentation plays a big role in in a lot of ways, you know, whether we like it or not, and there's of course toxic elements to it, but
I mean, zooming out, athletes, they have to go through such rigorous diets and exercise regimes and routines and detoxes, and so there's certain careers that require That's a whole nother topic.
Totally.
So when I was, I thought there was something happening with me when I was experiencing those things, because I've never really had that before.
Right.
So I thought it was something internal.
Okay.
So I went through a lot of testing to myself, where I'd get my blood tested, I'd get my hormones tested, I would go to a dermatologist, and I was healthy.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, from the deficiency of vitamin D living in London, that's very normal.
Totally.
And maybe some other stuff, generally didn't have anything critical or scary being flagged, so I couldn't figure out why I was experiencing these issues. Of course, it's not the first thing you think about. Now it's so common and so advertised, there's so many shower filters in the market, but at that time there was nothing feeling like, hey, if you're experiencing dry skin or dry scalp, or if you're getting itchy or your hair's brassy or your hair feels dry, it could be your water. That wasn't something you clicked in right away, at least for me it wasn't. And it's funny because now connecting the dots back, I probably could have clicked for me earlier because the water I grew up in,
okay,
and how much I knew about the thermal waters, which are soft waters, they're not hard waters.
Okay.
So my co-founder, who's not here,
Sarah,
and I, we both started VitaClean.
Wow.
And there's a story that happened. So we ended up living together in an apartment in London, and she had her own issues. She had the the itchiest leg. She had red hot irritated skin under her eyes, in her cheeks. Every time she showered, she constantly felt the need to go to the hair salon because of she's blonde, so it's take care of her color and maintain the color. So we were both bonding over health and wellness and beauty products and how to take care of ourselves. And one day our shower stopped working and we called the building plumber. It was a small apartment, maybe, I can't remember, 12, 18 units.
Okay.
And he came over and he said, yeah, you have a sludge problem. And we're like, a what problem? He's like, a sludge, don't worry, it's very common. That was the light bulb moment for VitaClean. So he started connecting his equipment to the bath main and like pumping out this tar like substance into the toilet. This is the shower I was like brushing my teeth in and washing my hair and like using my exfoliator.
Oh wow.
So we were just sitting there like, oh my goodness, I think this is why we have such bad skin and hair issues. And London's like a pretty developed city.
Yeah.
And I know that it was mortifying for sure.
Okay.
And I know we're lucky that we even have a shower and running water.
Right.
I'm not disregarding that.
Right.
But at that moment, we asked him, like, how do we prevent this? How do we make sure this doesn't happen again? And he said, you have to get a water filter. But, you know, you have to get a water filter, but, you know, you live in this unit and you have to filter the main, the water main of the base. And that's going to be about $8,000. It was like £6,000, which is equivalent to $10,000.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to maintain it. And I'm like, we don't own this unit. We're renters.
Right.
We were like 24, 25 years old.
Right.
We had no intentions of installing a $10,000 water filter in the building we're about to leave in 3 months.
Yeah.
So started looking online. There was, again, nothing really. Of course, just the generic shower heads that you see today.
Yeah.
And we got a few water filters. We're like, oh, this is, like, kind of working. But, like, it really piqued our interest of, like, can this be something where it's part of your beauty routine? Because this is the base.
Wow.
If you have good water, you have really good skin and hair. Have you been in an area, I don't know, maybe you've traveled somewhere. Maybe it's back home. Maybe it's somewhere else in the country where you've taken a shower, you're like, oh, my hair is so soft, it's so silky, like my shampoo lathers better.
So I can't say if I noticed like something being better, but I have noticed which ones were worse. For example, I used to live in LA and I lived in a new unit as well, so everything was like new. But I do remember when I used to go between like New York and LA, my hair and skin was not as good in LA compared to New York.
Yes.
And I remember I know at the time too, my hair was also getting flaky when I was showering in LA, but when I came to New York it stopped. So that's why I thought it was just climate related when I was going from LA to New York. But as you talk about this, it makes me wonder how much of it was related to my shower.
All of it.
Yeah. Because it was just definitely like my skin was definitely very dry. I was more acne prone out there. I definitely yeah, just like was getting, it was very flaky. Not that I like talking about that.
I know, but it's
yeah.
really like, it's not yeah. sexy to talk yeah. about this. It's yeah. very embarrassing.
Yeah, I have
embarrassing.
Like dark hair, so it's like
you
very
can see it.
Easy.
Me
yeah.
too. I mean, I started getting my hair lighter, but naturally I have the same hair color.
Okay.
as you. Yeah.
Okay.
Especially when you go to meetings and then yeah. you wear black blazers.
Oh my God.
That yeah. was that was my life in London.
Or you look at my shoulder like,
We go to castings, yeah. they'd always tell you like, wear black.
And oh my like, God.
Constantly like brushing all the dandruff from yeah. my shoulders.
Yeah. Oh
my and they
gosh.
Like touch my hair with modeling and totally. It's like snowing.
Yeah. yeah. Wow. So like that's like quite related to the water.
Oh yeah. It's okay. mostly related. Of course I can't say it's only the water,
right,
but
right.
most of the time a lot of it has to do with the water.
Okay.
So California, similar to London, it has a lot of minerals like calcium and magnesium in the water.
Okay.
That calcify. So if you go in your shower and yeah. those folks listening at home, if you see white crusty residue around your shower head,
uh-huh.
it's a really good way to tell if you live in a hard water area.
Okay.
That's one way. You could also notice around your kitchen sink if okay. there's white residue, or you're near in your water kettle as well in
right.
the bottom. So in London it's notorious. There's so
it's
much
hard
lime scale.
Okay.
Very hard water.
Okay.
Like super, super hard water.
Okay.
To the point where we'd get little flyers slipped under your door.
Yeah.
Be like, how to protect your appliances from hard water. And I'm like, what about my skin and hair?
Oh,
it
wow.
was just that whole
interesting
switching that mindset.
Mm.
And yeah, so it was about getting, I want to explain this because not everybody knows, but there's
yeah.
a difference between hard and soft water.
Yeah.
Very
yeah.
easy way to understand. Like hard water has a lot of minerals similar to California when you were experiencing
okay.
that. And those could and often do calcify and like stick to your scalp and
oh.
to your hair, and that's why you feel that dryness.
Okay.
Especially when you're showering, and I hope
oh.
not the hottest water because
yeah.
it's not
yeah.
good for you.
Yeah.
Sometimes we all want a hot shower,
right.
and like I'm guilty of it too.
Right.
but
right.
you shouldn't be showering too hot of
yeah.
water.
Yeah.
However, your pores expand.
Mm.
So now you're showering and you're absorbing those minerals that are kind of hardening.
Mm.
That's how to explain if you are experiencing what I was experiencing, what you were just
yeah.
talking about, living
yeah.
in a hard water area.
Oh, wow.
And soft water doesn't have that, so you don't feel that effect. And you might notice that your shampoos lather more.
Okay.
It's easier to get body wash on you.
Okay.
Get your hair cleaner.
Yeah.
Because you're not fighting those minerals.
Oh, wow. So what about New York? Is it hard or soft?
Oh my God, I once got completely, I had a viral video go where I
oh
talked
my gosh.
About this. It was a very small snippet of the video.
Yeah.
But New York has incredibly soft water.
Oh.
We have water comes from an incredible source.
Yeah.
Upstate.
Yeah.
However, the pipes are so old.
Okay. Wait, I do think I saw you say that, actually, because, yeah, I was like, oh, yes, go New York. And then, okay, the pipes, so that does make sense.
Yeah, it's
okay.
the pipes. So, again, like, the water could be soft,
yeah.
but you're showering in a lot of residual particles, like rust.
Okay.
And certain matter
yeah.
that gets collected
okay.
by the time it comes to your pipes.
Yeah.
Very often, people are like, well, I live in a new build.
Yeah.
Great. But
yeah.
those pipes are connected to the ones on the street.
Okay.
So
okay.
it's very important to filter your water, regardless
mm-hmm.
if you live in a soft water area or in a hard water area.
Okay.
And with VitaClean, what's really good is
yeah.
that we have vitamin C technology.
Okay.
And that's great because not only does it get rid of chlorine,
mm-hmm.
but it also helps to soften the water and it helps to bring back moisture in your skin and hair.
Yeah.
And our vitamin C shots give you this like nice glossy sheen.
Yeah.
And you feel it. You feel the difference.
Mm.
I had something happen to me 3 days ago.
What happened?
So I went to the modern day banya with my mom to bathhouse. Do you
in
know
New
bathhouse?
York. Oh yeah,
yeah,
yeah, yeah. I love bathhouse.
Yeah, me too. They opened up a stunning location.
In Flatiron.
So gorgeous.
So it's perfect during the week. I mean, actually, I'm not gonna give the hack because anyone that goes during the week.
Go on the weekend.
I know, yeah, go on the weekend, go when it's busy. That's funny.
It's so funny because those are the spa centers we had back home.
Yeah.
So if you want to envision something similar to it,
yeah.
it'd be very much so like this,
wow.
except you'd be having thermal water in all of the different pools.
Okay.
Because a bathhouse, I think they have about like 6 pools.
Yes.
One
yeah, something like that,
really
yeah.
cold, one really, really cold.
Yeah.
A bigger one, lukewarm, hot tub.
Right.
So yeah, those are kind of the spa centers. So my mom and I go, and I'm psychotic. Like, I shower, I travel with my shower head. Like, I will install my shower, my VitaClean shower head anywhere I go.
Oh my gosh.
And there's rare occasions where I won't. But the handheld, for example, it's so easy to install. You just untwist.
Yeah.
You put whatever, the one that you're untwisting on the floor, you put your VitaClean on, you shower, and then you just put it back on.
Wow.
So I very often do, but I know Bath House. I've been there before, and they have these gorgeous 12-foot ceilings that you can't reach. It's a wall mount, so I'm like, I can't bring a ladder. Like, start unscrewing the shower heads.
Gosh.
I mean, well, I wouldn't put it past me.
That's so funny.
But, you know, I went
the
in
passion.
There. Yeah, the passion. Once you know and you feel that difference, it's really hard to go back.
Okay.
So I'm taking my shower. I use their products. They have, I don't know what kind of products they have, but they have a shampoo, conditioner, body wash available in the shower. And I washed my hair. And I come out, and very often when I dry my hair, it's really easy to dry. It's not getting full of knots. And I already experienced it being so knotted from not showering and VitaClean and not using my shampoo. And again, I'm really sensitive to it because I know the difference so much. And it's very rare that I don't wash my hair in VitaClean. So the next day I go home and I get the itchiest scalp, and I'm just like, I notice, I catch myself, because it's so subconscious sometimes that you don't notice it, but you're like kind of looking a little crazy.
Oh my gosh.
And I started to know that I had some flakes.
Oh wow.
And I was like, what is happening? And then I remembered, I'm like, wait, I just washed my hair at Bath House. I love Bath House. I'm not saying anything. I'm just saying in unfiltered water. I don't know, maybe they filtered their water. I don't know, but not in VitaClean water. And I noticed such a huge difference.
Wow.
Even though New York has soft water, it still makes an impact, a huge impact on the way your skin and hair are.
How quick were you able to create this VitaClean product and like the shower head aspect? Because I feel like that's probably very daunting to go into a market where you actually have to create such a specific product that to ensure that it actually solves that problem.
I mean, hardware is very difficult, so it was definitely not a fun journey. It took us a while to find a factory to be able to do this, and eventually we did. And we didn't invent vitamin C, so it's been around and it's been very popular, so we understood that there was a vitamin C filtration process that was used. Very, very popular in Asia more, not in the West. So by the time we were able to find the right partner in manufacturing, we were able to get VitaClean out in the market. And there was a few versions. We first started with the handheld and started to understand that it's, again, another very specific thing about Europe and US, for example. In Europe, 95% of showers are handhelds. I don't know if you ever noticed that.
Well, now I'm going to pay attention. I'm just thinking back to all the hotels I've stayed in this past year. Like, I'm trying to think. But yeah, that probably makes sense.
Maybe more modern hotels would have both. But traditionally, it's more popular to have a handheld shower. And I always laugh because when I talk to, like, my mom's friends, and she has a lot of Eastern European friends, they always want to buy the VitaClean handheld because they're just so used to having a handheld. But in America, most homes do have a wall mount.
That is true. I actually have, I think I thought I had the wall mount, but mine's actually a handheld in in my apartment.
Yeah, it's very normal. People don't really know. And that's something you do every day and look at the shower every day.
It's funny.
It's very common. And I mean, I'm so deep into this, so I know so many details and I can figure out which shower head has good pressure, which doesn't, why it has it, why it doesn't. Like, I can understand that just by looking at things sometimes. But yeah, getting the handheld out was definitely a little easier than getting the wall mount out, but we got it out. And going to market with a shower head, trying to position it as a beauty and wellness product, we were the first to do that. We basically pioneered the category. I know there's a lot of shower heads out there in the market now, but we were the ones to start doing this, and we were doing it in London, right? Because
what year was this when you guys started?
2018.
Okay, yeah,
it was 2 years of us full-time at our job still. I was still modeling, Sarah was working tech. We were just figuring out how to run our e-commerce business.
Okay,
because when we finally got one of the samples in our that we liked, we approved.
Yeah.
We saw a difference.
Okay.
And we said, let's see what our friends and family are like. And we had, thankfully, so many friends and family that were able to help us, give us feedback. And everybody was like, wow, my skin and hair feel softer after one shower.
Wow.
So we started to figure out, okay, London's a great market because they have really hard water and people would really benefit from this. Mm-hmm. However, there's not so many expats except out of London. Yeah. So when you tell a British person their water is bad, oh, it's this foreigner.
Yeah.
You know. Oh, that's funny. So we didn't have the pickup that we thought we would in England.
Okay.
And in 2019, we started noticing a lot of sales coming out of America. And we said, wow, I think this might be the market that we need to launch in. So we launched in the US and we saw a significant difference in consumer behavior.
Yeah, that often happens.
Yeah. And people really started to get it here. And it's interesting when you think of Europe and London. I lived there 5 years, so I can share my experience.
Yeah.
People are more conservative. There's less disposable income. That's getting credit the way America gets credit is not as easy. So I think that probably has to do when you do have discretionary income and you want to spend on certain things, like you're not thinking about a shower head immediately.
Right.
But now the industry's gotten so much bigger, the wellness, understanding every part of taking care of ourselves and what that means. There's so many gadgets and there's so many things and there's so much backing behind it. It's not just something that is a gimmick.
Yeah.
And people are really understanding that. So primarily our business is now in the US.
At what point did you guys go full time with VitaClean? And like, how did you guys feel comfortable going from doing everything to kind of maintain VitaClean to going, all right, we're dropping everything else that we're doing and going full in just this?
I wish Star was here because I really can't pinpoint an exact moment, but I was still modeling till COVID hit. I had my base clients. I stopped working with agencies. I had about six clients that I was working with regularly, and I knew my times. I knew how much money I'd make from them, and it was very comfortable. At the same time, I was able to build and work on VitaClean.
Yeah.
But once COVID hit, I lost those clients because nobody was doing anything. There was no photo shoots, there was no fashion shows, there was no trade shows, there was nothing, there was no campaigns. So I guess maybe 2020 to answer that question, but I always made it work because you know, VitaClean took a lot of my time for sure, but I was like in the back of changing rooms, like sending out emails while like getting in different gowns, like that was the reality of my life for a while.
I love that you shared that too, because I think so many people forget or don't realize how long it actually takes before certain brands or people actually start to take off or start to have momentum. Because, you know, for someone listening, they might have been like, oh, did she just start like maybe 3 years ago? It's like, no, it's actually even pre-COVID, you know? So that like gives you some time to like build and like, you know, realign with, you know, the market in the US versus like starting out in England, you know? So I just always love seeing and hearing that myself, because I think sometimes people, like the glamorization of entrepreneurship, people can think, especially I think those who are on the younger side as well, like especially the primary Gen Z, like there can be this impression like, oh, you know, success can happen like this quick. And I think that's the difference between building something long term and having an impact and versus maybe just having like this quick thing go viral and you know, you pop off that way.
And if you do, lucky you, but for most of us it's not like that.
Totally.
It takes some time and it's okay. I think the biggest thing I would, if I could meet myself back in day one of the plumber coming over and that whole story, it just, you have to remember that things take time.
Yeah.
Things really do take time. And that's the hardest part of entrepreneurship is knowing, it's just sticking with it for that amount of time.
Yeah.
And I think it's also important to remember that it's not all glamorized. And it's funny because I came from modeling, which is a very glamorized industry as well. Like people thought, oh, you're a model, like you get free clothes or you get to wear beautiful gowns and walk down the runway, and you get to have makeup and hair and be in magazines. And there's so much behind that that's actually really difficult to even do that. It's like any job, any career. It's not always just the outcome and the outside looking in. Even people in finance, like they're so miserable.
They're so
miserable. And but you know, they make great money, but they work, I don't know, 16-hour days.
So there's a cost with everything.
So even building a business, and it's difficult because, you know, we had a problem. We found a solution and we wanted to share that solution with the world. And we had to learn how to create an e-commerce business. And there was a lot of learning in the early days that we weren't exposed to. This wasn't our fourth company. You know, this was the first one. But we didn't set out, hey, let's start a business plan and go and create a showerhead company. Like, we were like, oh my God, we had all these issues and we found a solution and we want to share that solution. We want to bring awareness because I know what it is like firsthand suffering with just eczema. There was a point where I wouldn't wear like short sleeve shirts. And I, with modeling also, I started to lose a lot of jobs because my hair was, my hair like it's always been really long and healthy. But when I was living in London, my hair started to fall out more than usual, like clumps, not alopecia style. Like I would have a lot of excess hair falling out, which is normal. It's normal to shed. So don't think it's not normal. But my hair wouldn't grow because I didn't have a healthy scalp. And I cut my hair hoping that it would grow faster. It was like, there's a myth. I don't know if that's I've never, is that a myth or is that
true? I don't know. I've heard it as well. And I do like free, like regularly cut my hair, like every 2 months. I do think there's like a health benefit to it. Like I think,
oh, for sure.
You're like not just like letting it grow because you want it to like grow long, but actually like keeping it like healthy. And like cut off.
I think there's, that's there's true. So it's so layered. It's not just like, but back then I was like, oh, let me cut my hair short so it could grow faster.
Oh my gosh.
So I cut my hair and it wouldn't grow and it was so dry. I felt like a broomstick and it was terrible. And I had a dry scalp. I was getting these brassy tones in my hair that weren't really something I ever experienced. I had patches of eczema to the point where I'd go on castings and they'd be like, oh, well, it would be too much work to cover that on Photoshop. So, like, we won't book you for the job. So things like that that affected my career. It wasn't just me feeling uncomfortable in my own skin and dealing with that. I know people deal with so many things. And I know in the grand scheme of things, that wasn't wasn't so heavy. But for me, it affected my day-to-day and it affected my confidence and it affected my career at the time.
Okay, well, I want to switch gears really quickly, a little bit into like your personal life as well. And also, I think something that we previously spoke a little bit about on that I would love to kind of just hear more thoughts from you is, you know, before you were married and like when you were dating in the past and your experience as you were modeling, as you were kind of like building your own life and own career, how did you navigate if you had any experiences with men that maybe didn't genuinely support you or didn't really like that you were excelling at something on your own? Like what has been that experience like with maybe those that didn't love that for you? And then now, of course, assumingly like being with a partner that loves that, hey, like this is her thing.
I am very grateful for my partner. Yeah. He's incredible and so supportive and so loving. And I feel like I had to go through previous relationships and not feel that to put that as a standard for myself.
I see.
And it was very important when you're in a, when you're young and you're navigating through relationships and you're discovering things about yourself, discovering what you like. Nobody wakes up and is like, this is what I like, this is what I want. Maybe you think so, but you have to experience things in order to see if this is a right fit.
Yeah.
So in past where I was in, where I did not feel supported or understood, it was hard. It was difficult because you're battling being very intimate with someone, sharing things that are private and hoping that this person will support you. And when their responses aren't that, aren't supportive, it hurts even more.
For sure.
Because you're getting questioned. You're questioning yourself, especially when you're pursuing something like starting a new business.
Yeah.
I think anybody can relate to that. Starting anything new, even if you're in a very safe career path and you just changed jobs and you're in a new setting and new environment, and there's definitely a lot of newness that you have to navigate. And when you're younger, in your 20s, and you're trying to deal with all of that, which is so natural, like that's what happens in your 20s, it happens in your 30s, still happening.
I'm
sure it happens in your 40s and your 50s. Just navigating not being around people who are supportive and who are understanding and who uplift you is it's hard. it's hard because you can easily spiral down and get into a state where you stop believing in yourself. But for me, in my experiences, it was very important to go through that because it taught me the importance of having to put boundaries, having to believe in myself despite anything. Because at the end of this day, if you don't have your back, like, and you're relying on someone to have your back, it's not a way forward because you're dependent on something.
Right.
I would always have to say I haven't always had the craziest confidence, but I've always been very brave and courageous. So even if something scared the shit out,
You can swear. I swear a lot too.
Even if something scared the shit out of me, I would still go through with it and push myself because I really value growth. And that was one of my learnings, being in a relationship that didn't feel like they were supportive of my my of goals and my ambitions. And just learning how to put boundaries, learning how to set goals for yourself, and just understanding how incredibly important it is to surround yourself with people who are like-minded, people who are supportive, and people who do have your best interests.
How did you know when you met your partner, how did you know he was, like, because you mentioned how going through those other experiences prior helped you set the standard and the boundaries, and then of course eventually you met your now husband. How was it like meeting him and kind of realizing, like, oh, this is the type of man I want to you know, build a life with?
I'm smiling because this is the first time on a podcast that I'm saying husband. I just got married.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Like 2 months ago.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's so fun.
Yeah. Congratulations.
Thank
again,
you.
By
I
the
appreciate
way.
That. Yeah. If you meet my husband, you would really understand. He's someone who sees life as a place of opportunity. He's so positive. He's so ambitious. He's kind-hearted. And he doesn't put people down. He doesn't put himself down. He has an innate confidence that guides him.
Yeah.
He's a very unique person in that sense, for me personally.
Yeah.
So it wasn't that hard to recognize that even from our first date.
Yeah.
However, we had so much in common. He has a company, an oral care company called Twice as well. So we were in a very similar journeys. And our first date, we I should tell this story because it was actually so serendipitous, but I went to a Forbes conference. I was invited to go to I wasn't an under 30, but I was invited to go to a Forbes conference in Detroit. And I came here to New York. I was still living in London at the time, so I I came to New York. And my girlfriend and I went to this conference. We're going to this conference. And the night before, it was around Halloween time, my old roommate was having a party, which I went to. And I met my husband that night.
Oh, wow.
Well, my now husband that
night. Yeah.
And he wanted my phone number. And I told him, if you want my phone number, ask my friend David for it. Because I knew that David would never give my number to someone who's not a nice guy.
Okay.
So David's like my brother. We've been friends for almost 2 decades.
Okay.
So he gives him my number, and the next day I go to the conference, and I go with my friend, and she's like, oh, we're gonna have dinner tonight with a guy called Leo. And I was like, okay, great. So we go through the conference. In the back, Julian, my husband, calls Leo, unrelated, and he's like, hey, I just met this girl, Christina. She has a company called VitaClean. If you see her, put in a good word. And Leo's like, there's 5,000 people in this conference.
Oh my
gosh. The same night Leo and I are having dinner. It was just so unplanned and so spontaneous.
Wow.
So I'm like, wow, okay. I'm like, I'll go on a date with this guy.
Okay. Wow.
So I come back from the conference and we go on a date, and the date is like a 4.5 hour date.
Wow.
And we're talking about our Shopify stores and our marketing plans and what we're doing to increase revenue and like Q4. And we just had this whole chat. It wasn't just business, but it was genuine too. It was about family. It was about friendship. It was about everything. Yeah. And it felt so natural.
Wow.
It felt so natural that we just really, really hit it off.
Did you know on the first date that you would marry him?
He knew.
He knew.
I didn't know.
Okay. I love this question because I actually have heard a lot of guys have said yes. They knew, if not on the first date, they knew within the first 6 months.
Okay.
And so I'm always kind of tracking to see like how, and every single time I'm like, okay, well, I guess
he actually says it all the time, so I'm not speaking for him.
Okay,
he says it a lot. That's why I answer so quickly.
Oh wow, because he did. He knew first.
He told me for he's like, I knew from the moment I met you, I knew I'd marry you.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh wow. How old were you guys when you met?
I was 28, 29.
Okay.
Maybe nice. I was about to celebrate my 29th birthday.
Oh, very nice.
I think. Okay. Yeah. Wow, time is flying.
Yeah.
So it's not that I didn't know, but I wasn't really thinking about that.
Of course.
I was in a phase where I wanted to grow my company. Nice. We had a really, really strong entrance to the US market in 2019. Yeah. This was 2019.
Yeah.
I was very focused on that, and I had just gotten our relationship, so I wasn't seeking to be in another one.
Yeah.
So it wasn't on my mind.
Right.
And it's very funny because even though I grew up here, I never dated an American guy.
Okay.
I didn't even date one. Oh, like, really? I went on dates, but I never dated an American guy. Okay. I've always dated European men.
Okay.
That would make sense. He was the first American guy that I was dating. Oh, and I remember I went home. I was staying at a girlfriend's place. She's like, how was the date? Like, he was such a nice guy. Like, did you like him? Mm-hmm. And I said, he's really nice. We had a 4.5-hour date.
Yeah.
He was so great. We hit it off. We had so much in common. I'm like, but he's really American.
Yeah. That's so funny.
I know, it's very funny, and we started just cracking up.
Oh my gosh.
And here we go. We're married.
Yeah. What do you think is the core piece for you guys and any marriage and relationship you've observed and have admired that you feel like is the core foundation, whether it's values or like a specific interest that you have or faith, or what do you think that is for you two?
I think values for sure. Yeah. Even though we come from very different backgrounds, we do have very similar values, which was a big part of what drove us to find that connection between ourselves and the way we think about our families, the way we approach life with kindness and gratitude and being good people. That was values was a lot of it. We shared very similar values, but we also have a lot of respect for each other, which was really incredible, because in past relationships I haven't felt the respect that I wanted, and it was a very particular time, because when you're a model, if you're in a specific setting, it's a very sexy, glamorous thing, but in other settings you're like, oh, you're a model, like, you're not smart, you've only made money from your looks your whole life. It's again generalizing, but that's my experience being in different settings, where you're in a boardroom, for example, in a finance boardroom. I'm saying this because this happened to me. We were pitching very early days VitaClean. That was my primary. I was still modeling. And it felt like I walked out of that room being judged for that and being labeled by that, where I had to tone it down and not talk about it because I was now in a business setting. However, if I was at the bar hanging out on a night, she's like, oh, there's a model here. And I hate talking about this because it just sounds so superficial. But in different settings, you feel a different way.
Totally.
And being perceived by men like, oh, like, every guy wanted to date a model. Right. You know, everyone wants a girl that's considered that.
Yeah.
And not every guy, again, I'm generalizing.
Of course.
I just don't want everybody to think I'm speaking for every single person.
Yeah.
But when you're in a business setting, it's not for me, early days VitaClean, it was not a positive.
Wow.
So it was something that was, oh, you're just good for your looks, not anything else.
Yeah.
And coming back to having respect from a man, and in this relationship, intimate romantic relationship, was just so refreshing.
Yeah,
because it didn't matter who I was or what I was doing. We both had so much respect for the people that we were, and I think that's so important. But I don't know if I would have known that had I met him younger. I think
I was gonna ask you that next. Okay. Yes. Yeah. You're not sure if you would have.
We talk about it. It's funny, and we always are like, oh, imagine we met like when he was a banker and I was full time modeling. And
I see.
We were just laughing. We're like, I don't know. Maybe we wouldn't have appreciated each other.
I see.
And there's a lot of appreciation that happens after you have experience in relationships and you've taken the time to reflect and learn about yourself and understand what it is that you want.
Yeah.
It's hard. To say this is what I want,
right?
But you can navigate those based off feelings and how how someone makes you feel. Does it make you feel supported and heard and understood?
Yeah.
Even the basics. Right. And that's what I felt with my now husband.
Yeah. In which you didn't quite feel as much of that maybe in prior relationships. And that's why that stood out more once you met him.
For sure.
Okay. I like that. What's one thing that you would share with women in their 20s right now listening as they're navigating, let's say specifically with dating and relationships and partner selection, really? Like, if there's one thing that comes to mind that you would share with your younger self or like a younger sister, what would that be?
Gosh, this is a little bit of a pressure question. I think definitely learning how to set boundaries and learning how to communicate properly are such key things in anything, not only in romantic relationship, but in career, in work, co-founders, co-workers, parents, siblings. Having tools to communicate effectively is so important. And also learning how to create boundaries. I think being in your 20s, you're supposed to experience things and learn through experiences.
Yeah.
So definitely have those experiences.
Yeah.
But don't let anybody, don't rely on anybody, or especially, again, I don't know if male or female, whoever you want to date, it's unhealthy to have a dependency and reliance on that person to making you feel good.
Yeah.
So you've got to find that inside.
Yeah.
You got to find that inside. And it takes time to build confidence. It takes time to have courage.
Yeah.
A little bit longer for some than others. Vice versa. And it's just important to stay true to yourself. Learn, really, I think boundaries and communications.
Yeah.
I think in communication, it's really important. So I would say maybe focus on that a little bit, but go have your experiences. Go have fun.
Go have fun.
Date and try different personalities.
Yeah.
It's important because that's how you learn.
I see.
What would work for you and what you like and what makes you feel good.
Yeah.
Because sometimes it's so hard to explain it in words.
Right.
Sometimes and very often, it's a feeling.
Yeah.
How does someone make you feel?
Like something you just know. Yeah.
Ooh. I know it's very, I didn't want to say that, but it's true.
I love that, though. I love that. And that's, again, something I do ask, interestingly, a lot of, you know, especially a lot of female founders. Like, I think for me personally, like, I love to ask other female founders who are kind of in a similar bucket as me, like, you know, have been or were building something, you know, throughout their 20s and 30s. And then they also were fortunate enough to have a great partnership, because I think sometimes it is easy to like only have one and not the other. And so I love asking and getting insight from those that have been able to manage, get both, and of course male perspective too, because I think that's something that I learn a lot. I think that's just like the real life stuff. We don't have a guidebook or textbook on, you know, how to do this or what to look out for. But I think that's why I love getting insight from people's experiences, because you often hear something repetitive. And that comment about like, sometimes you just know, I've heard a lot. So
That's really sweet.
I love that.
Thank you for creating a platform for all of us to share that. Because loving yourself is important, navigating life. And one other advice, like, you don't have to meet him or her at 24 or 25.
Yeah.
Like, I know there's a lot of pressure around the age sometimes. I think I felt that for myself for sure.
Okay.
Even my girlfriends now that are my age and still are seeking their partner.
Yeah.
There's a lot of pressure on that.
Yeah.
And I think today is more and more acceptable to find that connection later. There's women who work very dynamic careers that are in finance or banking that are very intensive with hours. And maybe they're not able to find that.
Yeah.
Just a simple example. Or you could be in a career where you could be finding that. But sometimes it takes time, and don't put pressure on time, because sometimes that could lead you to a decision that might not be the right one for you.
Yes. And I really appreciate that you share that you met him like just before you turned 29, because I'm 27. And so sometimes, you know, like hearing that and like, and then now like your journey now, I think it is nice for myself, but also for those who might, like, to your point, like, self-adding that pressure, because they're like, oh, I'm 27, I'm almost 30, like, and then they're thinking about all this stuff, whereas like you met him shortly before 30, and then like years went by and you have a grounded relationship. Obviously I'm like thinking this through out loud, I'm like, I'm assuming, but then you guys eventually get married, and it's like you look at that and you go, wow, like, there really was no rush.
It was so natural, right? Between us. Like, and we, so that. What happened was how we really got into a relationship. We were long distance dating the end of 2019, early 2020, because I was still living in London.
Wow.
And once COVID hit, I came back because I didn't want to be in London by myself. Yeah. And I came back and he was like, I haven't seen you in 3 weeks. Come over. And I'm like, I just got off a plane. Yeah. They're like telling people to quarantine. I'm not sure if I should be like coming to your house.
Yeah.
And it was actually his parents' house because everyone kind of went back to their families. Yeah. And I'm like, I don't want to get your parents sick. Yeah, I don't want to get anybody sick. He's like, oh, you have a fever? I said, no. He's like, just come. And of course, I'm like, twist my arm, like freshly in love. Funny. I was like, fine, I'll come for the weekend. So I go there and guess what? He ends up having COVID.
Oh my God.
I don't think I ever got it.
Yeah.
But we were quarantined in a room
together
for almost 3 weeks. I mean, we were getting out for walks and stuff.
That's funny.
But everything felt so natural. We were like crisis manage mode in our businesses because we had to figure out supply chain. Like usually at March is when, you know, you're getting, what is it? January, February, March. Mm-hmm. It's March. You have just come out of a really heavy holiday sale with product goods and China, if you produce there, which we do, we have two factories in China, we have in the US as well. They're New Year's. So like it's a really tricky time because you're probably really low in inventory and like you're waiting for them to come back and the ports are shut, their factories are shut. So we were like crisis managing our businesses, advising each other and just existing, and everything just felt really normal.
Wow.
And really natural. And, you know, we were just having this, we were living through these crazy times and being there for each other and making sure we're okay and loving each other. And we spent a lot of time together.
Wow.
And because it took a while to resume back to going, he had an office and I was back in the States, so I didn't have a office in the States. But we spent so much time together.
Yeah.
Like a lot. Like a lot of time together.
So you got to know each other very quickly.
Yeah, we still do. We're pretty much together all the time. But we're still, you know, doing our own thing, working in our own corners.
Yeah.
Living in a different world than I guess maybe we're like the 9 to 5 where you don't see each other. So I'm telling you, if anybody's curious, like it does work.
Yeah.
We're like we're not sick of each other yet.
Yeah.
So we made it work somehow.
Very cool. I love that. Okay. Yeah. Well, final question, in reflecting on everything in your life and in your relationship and VitaClean, what would you say ultimately fulfills you in life?
Oh gosh, you know, gratitude, having gratitude for what I have in my life and just reflecting on what's important for me and fulfillment wise on a less profound spiritual level is personal growth.
Yeah.
Pushing myself, and even when I'm scared, pushing myself to unlock new levels of myself. And that is just so fulfilling. Whether it's skiing, I didn't ski growing up, I learned as an adult. So pushing myself, now I ski double blacks and I can manage that, which is very scary for me. But pushing yourself even when you're scared, and maybe it's a class, maybe it's a workout class and you want to take that extra weight, that heavier weight, maybe it's that way, maybe it's at work, you want to speak up in a meeting and you never really thought you could, and you just do it, you just do it for doing it, and you learn from that. So it's personal growth and self-reflection and just having gratitude for the things that you have in your life.
Wow, Christina, thank you so much for coming on this podcast and like sharing your journey and all your insights. Like, I know my audience will really love this, and thank you again.
Thank you so much for having me. This is so great. I love how many connections we have.
I'm
excited to stay in touch.
Yes. And quick thing, where can everyone find VitaClean, you, any promo codes, if anything, that they could use if they want to try out the product?
Yeah, thank you so much. We're on VitaClean_official on Instagram and VitaClean on TikTok. Amazing. If you have any questions, please feel free to reach out. I am Christina Volkova.
Yeah.
That's Christina with a K.
Yes.
I'm sure you linked the notes, right? Okay, I'm not going to spell it.
Of course.
It's funny when you have a Russian, Bulgarian, Eastern European last name, you always like V as in Victor, not B as in boy.
Yeah.
And I'm also Christina_ on TikTok as well. And
amazing.
Please feel free. The door is open.
Yay.
If you have any questions, if you have anything that you want to answer, I would love to talk to you. Thank you so much, Emily.
And that was all for today's episode with co-founder of VitaClean, Christina Velkova. As always, if you enjoyed the conversation, you had some takeaways, if this was one of your favorite guest episodes, please be sure to let us know, share the episode on your Insta story, and if you do, tag the podcast Insta at What Fulfills You, my personal one at Emily E. Duong, and make sure you also tag VitaClean and Christina so they can also see the love. You can find all of the social handles in the show notes. And if you want to check out VitaClean, you can get a little discount with the What Fulfills You code. All of that is in the show notes. Thank you again for tuning in today. I will chat with you all in the next episode.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.